Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our great High Priest, who is himself the sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, the words for our consideration are found at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 1 with the first verse. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. It is written, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from this world to walk with our Savior on his way to the cross, to think about what he went through for us, and especially to hear his word of grace and truth. Sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, about 10 years ago now, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, it's an organization there, they finished constructing their reconstruction of the tzitz. It's a funny word. That's the gold plate that is on a headpiece that the high priest of Israel would wear. And they made it according to the instructions that had been given to the craftsmen of Israel some 3,500 years ago. You can imagine how expensive it must have been. Solid gold. They put this thing together because they believe that they are to have everything ready in Jerusalem for the return of the high priest, a new high priest, to lead the Jews in worship at a new temple. While their work is very artistic and faithful to the history of the tzitz, it's not going to be needed. No new high priest is going to appear, nor is that earthly temple so long ago destroyed, nor is it needed anymore. The writer to the Hebrews wrote in chapter 4, "We have a great high priest." He's talking about Jesus. But notice that he doesn't use the future tense there. He doesn't say we will have one. He says we have a great high priest. And tonight, that's going to serve as our focus, and indeed the focus of our midweek Lenten services. We're going to think about how Jesus is our great high priest, and we're going to hear that from the book of Hebrews, especially this year as we walk on that path with our Savior, that well-trod path of Lent, and prepare to hear about the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. Tonight we're going to see that Jesus truly is our great high priest, who first of all is qualified, and secondly, who purifies us, and third, who will glorify us. So the letter to the Hebrews, it begins very abruptly. All the other letters start out with an introduction, but this one just sort of jumps right into it. The writer was writing to new Christians who had been followers of Judaism, Christians who were suffering for their Christian faith where they were. And these mostly Hebrew believers were sorely being tempted in the persecutions that they faced. They were being tempted to turn back to their comfortable traditions of the Jews and to Judaism, the religion, because that religion was considered legal in the empire and was not persecuted. But the author says, you have something better in Jesus. Better than all the traditions of the people, better than the pictures that God gave to Old Testament Israel that prefigured this Jesus. Better than the tabernacle, better than the temple. He writes, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Just think about that for a second. God had spoken to the people of Israel through Moses, through David, through Isaiah, great men of the Bible, but men, nonetheless, human beings in need of a Savior, just like us. None of these people had a complete picture of what was going on, but together their words are pretty clear. They longed to see the fulfillment of what the Old Testament spoke of. So the writer to the Hebrews urges us to consider what we have in Christ. We have not just a really clear picture. We have the actual fulfillment of what the whole Old Testament is about. We have the Son of God. The writer heaps up such grand words to describe Jesus. We don't want to miss who he's talking about here. God is speaking to us through his own Son. That's pretty amazing. Christ is more than qualified to speak to us about heavenly things, isn't he? Because that's where he came from. He knows it, and he is true God. But there's more here. The writer wants us to know that this Son of Man and Son of God is our great high priest. He says, after he had provided for purification for sins. This was the job description of the high priest, the picture in the Old Testament that God had given. The high priest was important to the people, and it showed in his clothing. And he was crowned with that thing that we were talking about, the tzitz. Sat upon his head. He looked like a king. Exodus 28 tells us exactly how he was to be dressed for the job and what the qualifications were. He was to be a Levite, descended from Aaron. He was to be without any physical defect. He had to marry correctly according to the law. He couldn't be around dead people lest he be unclean. All these things were to be pictures of what Jesus would be like. Jesus was qualified to be the great high priest, and as our great high priest, he purifies us. Now you might question whether Jesus is really qualified as our high priest when you think about how Jesus went about what he did. I mean, think about him on Maundy Thursday evening. You know, he was down on his hands and knees washing his disciples' feet. He was purifying them from the dust and dirt of the day's walk. But just picture that. Jesus on his hands and knees. But before you dismiss this one with the basin and the towel as unworthy, I want you to think back to the picture of the great day of atonement that was given in the Old Testament law. They were to celebrate this great day of atonement, and on that day of atonement, the high priest in Israel prepared to perform the rituals to cleanse Israel of her sin. Now, as I said, ordinarily the high priest wore some pretty fancy garments, priceless garments, even that gold headpiece. But on the Day of Atonement, when he made purification for sin, the high priest dressed more like a slave than a king. This was to be a picture of how Jesus, our great high priest, laid aside his heavenly glory to serve his creation as a creature, a human being. In the gospel accounts, it says that Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Jesus didn't normally wear fine clothing like the high priest, but the significance here is in the action that he's doing, not the clothing. St. Paul wrote that Jesus was in very nature God, and yet he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The significance of what Jesus was doing in cleaning the feet of his disciples is that God humbled himself. The Son of God humbled himself to serve us. So when we see Jesus there on the floor washing his disciples' feet, we should see a foreshadowing of the service that he was about to do on the cross. Remember, Peter objected. He said no to Jesus. But listen to what Jesus said in reply. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Now, he wasn't talking about Peter's dirty feet, but the purification of Peter's sins. The wash basin would not do. Only Jesus sacrificing himself could cleanse Peter and could cleanse us. And just as Peter didn't get it, couldn't see his desperate need for the forgiveness of sins, we often don't see it either. We just sort of go through our lives day by day and we don't see what a situation that we're in because sin blinds us to sin. That's why the devil can't see that he's already defeated. He's just blinded by his sin. That's why we sin, even though we know full well that God hates it. Sin blinds us to the truth. But Jesus' sacrifice cleansed us. When we're hearing God's word and receiving his sacraments as he intended, then we can see that we daily sin much and that we need him. We need him so desperately. How often do we not want to be served rather than to serve like the Lord intends? You know, when we think on that question, that can help us see where our hearts are. Let us plead like David did with the Lord, that he would wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Let us plead that God would wash us and make us whiter than snow. And let us remember that our pleas for mercy were already heard and already answered long ago when our great high priest offered himself into death in our place. That's why our verses conclude with these glorious words. It says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. When Jesus completed his sacrificial work, when he died with our sins on him, well, then he was raised, and he raised himself up from death as only God could have done. And he ascended into heaven to rule over all things for our good. Jesus was proclaimed successful by all of that. God the Father confirmed it on Pentecost Day. Peter said this of Jesus, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. By exalting the Son, the Father confirmed that he was and he is our great high priest, and that the great sacrifice that he made once for all was successful, that God accepted it and forgives us. That's why in John 17, Jesus prayed, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus was raised to glory to inspire us. He knows the temptations that we face. He's been through them all. He knows them by experience. He knows the weakness of our flesh, that we're not inclined by nature to be servants of one another, let alone God. And so he causes the glorious gospel to be preached and his sacraments to be administered across the world so that we who've been cleansed are given heavenly food and a new life and are strengthened for service to others and to God while we live. Excuse me. Remember what he said. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. God gives us cleansing and faith and spiritual nourishment, and he leads us to act with Christ-like love. He does all this, and then he turns around and praises us for the very thing that he's worked in us. Truly, he is our dear Father. Don't fathers do that? So let us not live as we once did in disobedience and dishonor, but remember our Savior, our great high priest, and his sacrifice. And let us be moved by his grace and serve humbly. Rejoice, fellow redeemed, in Jesus Christ, our great high priest. The scriptures show us that he is qualified, that he has purified us, and that he will glorify us. No more tzitz is required. We have the real thing, a Savior and a Father who loves us. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.